It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Any insight on how or why Kyle Tucker has suddenly gone off the boil? Can you believe that over the last 15, he's only hitting 190, slugging only 345? Can the team win consistently if he's not leading the way?
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. It does make sense. I mean, they are losing some games, and it coincides with him going into a little bit of a slump here. I think that when they were winning games, a lot of it was due to him. So I would think that he will start hitting better as some of the pitching that they're facing gets worse. And he'll be back and they'll be okay. I think they really need him. And we haven't heard as many people talk about getting that contract done. But certainly that was going on earlier in the season. And I think, did I see that with the home run from PCA, he's now tied with Otani for home runs in the most recent streak he's been on. It's him and Otani.
PCA?
The two guys, PCA and Otani. Yeah. The two guys hitting the homers and doing
good company to keep
since mid-April.
Yeah.
Yeah, PCA with 10 home runs, that's pretty surprising. But as far as Kyle Tucker, these numbers kind of jump off the page, but I don't think I felt that until really reading the question, because he did hit a home run, right? He hit a home run on Saturday in the game that they won. Is that right, if I remember correctly?
Maybe Friday night.
Was it Friday night in the loss? All right. Anyway, he did hit a home run recently. But, yes, you need him. He is going to be the number two hitter in the Cubs lineup all season long. And they did give him a night off, per se, right? He DH'd the other day, didn't play right field.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. And Saya had to play left field because of the injury to Ian Happ. And, you know, lineup Eastas. And then, you know, David finally got his wish, and PCA was up at the top for a couple of days, but that's going to be short-lived, according to Craig
Council.
Oh,
he shot that down fast.
Fast. Boy, did he shoot that down fast. But, yes, the Cubs absolutely positively need Kyle Tucker, who's hitting like it's spring training all over again.
He is, but I'm not worried, because I think that when you look at his track record, he'll go through a little bit of – everybody will go through little phases like this. And because, as you pointed out, Dustin, some of the hits that he's – the few hits that he has had lately – have come in relatively big moments. He did homer against the Mets on Friday night. That was, it felt like a big moment. And the base hit that he had in the extra inning game was him coming through when he needed to come through. He still goes to the plate with that kind of confidence. I do wonder this, not that this will continue, but is Craig Council going to tinker with his batting order at all if guys struggle at times? Obviously, he shot down the idea that PCA leading off was going to be a thing because of Ian Happ missing two games, and PCA keeping company with Otani probably should be at some point considered to be up higher in the lineup. Not going to quibble. Not yet. They're still, despite the losing skid, despite a tough week in first place, and things are going fine. Struggled over the weekend, but it's fine. Not going to overreact. At some point in time, though, if you have a guy who is that good, you don't want him batting seventh. I think that's just a given. So wait and see. Not worried about Kyle Tucker, because we did worry about him in spring training, and that looked silly in retrospect. So I think that he's going to probably feast on Marlins, White Sox, Marlins pitching.
I understand the question.
The Cubs have now lost four of five games, including two series in a row after the weekend in New York. So have we overestimated how good they are? Or is this just a blip with a chance over the next three series against the Marlins and White Sox to get right back on track? What's your biggest concern?
Biggest concern is the bullpen as we sit here this morning. Felt decent about Porter Hodge Saturday night. Didn't feel so good this morning. Didn't feel good about Ryan Pressly, seeing him in the sixth inning. I thought he was the closer, but he's not any longer. who's what? What role do they have? I know it's only May 12th. You don't have to have these definitive answers to all of these tough questions, but that is the prevailing concern coming out of New York, returning home, getting ready for the Marlins. Who plays what role in the bullpen? That's number one. Number two, starting rotation. Matthew Boyd this weekend pitched as consistent as he has all season. Jameson Taillon did not have it Friday night. Four home runs throwing batting practice. That was Juan Soto hit it to the moon. That thing landed in Brooklyn. And Jameson Taillon is the de facto ace of this staff? I don't know. Cade Horton, I liked what I saw. He's got to be here to stay. I like what I saw in four innings, Mr. Hold Up Your Four Fingers.
You can't call him the ace after four innings.
I didn't call it. No.
You said you like what you saw. J-Mo is not the ace.
I said J-Mo's not the ace of the staff. I didn't say Cade Horton's the ace of the staff. I did not say that. Play the tape. He is. I liked what
but
I saw
were,
from
you
him.
You were talking about that. You immediately brought him up.
Don't put words in my mouth. He is the guy who I think should be here, but I don't think he's your ace. He's a future ace. He's got ace-like stuff, ace-like qualities. But I do think they need to add a starter at some point. The problem is the Cubs are in this limbo phase because we're not close enough to the trade deadline to expect real change from the outside. And you are in the midst of having to just grind it out. So you better grind out some victories and series victories over the next couple weeks.
Well, it's the bullpen for me and the old circle of trust. And David, you talked about Saturday night and it was like, wow, okay, this is what a closer does. And then Sunday afternoon, oh, wait, what? This is what a guy does when he's trying to hold on to a lead. So which Porter Hodge, which version is it? And then you could say, well, he's not ready to go back-to-back. Well, he's got to learn how to go back-to-back. That's going to be a thing, especially if you're going to get to Craig Tober, right? You got it. But also, they had three hits yesterday. And you just mentioned about the lineup and stuff. So, again, I still see a place for Justin Turner on this team. But is a pinch hitter like in the ninth or eighth, right? But like, why because of an injury or something, you're giving somebody a day off, and you're deciding to have Justin Turner DH? I don't understand why he has to bat fourth or fifth. I don't understand why that's like the DH bats fourth or fifth. Why? Why couldn't the DH bat seventh or eighth? I don't that to me feels lazy or stubborn, whichever word you want to use. But. The bullpen is an issue.
Yeah, you know, I think that I think they're going through a rough period. I think Seiya is still the ace of the staff. I think that they probably need another starter, and they need to get him back. But I think the calendar turns, and so the next couple of series, they should be fine. And I wouldn't worry about it too much. But, yeah, no, it's been it has not been a good stretch. You know, you love it when they're winning series, and they could have won a series and didn't, and then they ran into a series that they couldn't win. So that was pretty difficult, the series in New York. And, you know, it's just sort of you're going through a lot of different stuff, and you're moving some people around, et cetera. You're not playing great baseball, and you're playing a really good team. So I wouldn't read too much into it. It is strange, though, that the Cardinals got back into contention and playing. They've won eight in a row. Wow. Who saw that coming? So that's not good. You want that to stop. Knock that off. But yeah, I think that the turn in the schedule buys them more time, and that's what it's about in baseball, just kind of putting series wins together and just seeing where you're at by the time the smoke clears.
What was the other part of that question?
Voice of John Heyman here at 9 o'clock with you guys. Cade Horton made his highly anticipated MLB debut on Saturday, coming in the second inning and striking out five in four innings. But he did give up a three-run home run. How would you describe his impact overall, and do you think he'll ever see Iowa again this season?
You know, I don't know about him going back to Iowa again this season. I don't know. I don't have the ability to read the tea leaves on it, but I think that he looked really good. He looked the part. He he came in and he pitched well. And, you know, it's a pity he hung like one breaking ball, and that was the one that got that, that was the home run ball. Other than that, I thought he did a very good job. And, it, you know, it was a little strange the way, not only the way that that they used Brad Keller as an opener, but the way that Craig Counsell, like, said they were going to do that and then almost dismissed what he was going to do with Cade Horton. And then, you know, like, he didn't really want to talk about him as a guy they needed in that big moment. But guess what? They needed him in that big moment, and I thought he came through. And, you know, still has to build up some pitch count and some innings, and you'd like to see him go more than four innings. That's all. But he did very well.
Looked the part, threw more pitches than I thought, ended up with 77. 49 of the 77 were for strikes. The home run is troublesome, but I did like the no walks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's something that in your major league debut in New York, forget even, you know, in your major league debut, you went four innings and you didn't walk anybody. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good way. And I don't think he sees Iowa again, and guess unless God forbid he gets hurt and he has to do some type of a rehab. But why would he? Why wouldn't he slide into the Justin Steele space? Right, and maybe ends up Colin Ray potentially, who's been fantastic, over delivered. Maybe he becomes the circle of trust guy in the bullpen,
or maybe Ben Brown's that guy.
Maybe Ben Brown goes. I'm saying somebody, if he sticks, and assuming Shota only misses, let's say three starts, maybe four, somebody's going to be the odd man out.
I like everything I saw from Cade Horton. Four innings, 77 pitches, not having a walk, showed good command. He definitely has the confidence. And I think he succeeded despite the fact that I don't believe the Cubs put him in the best position to succeed. I think they branded him somewhat shaky and a rookie and reminded you of what he hasn't done by coddling him and bringing him in the second inning. This is a starter. This is a guy who's going to be a top of the rotation starter. He's 23 years old. He's not fazed by the moment. The biggest inconvenience and the thing he had to manage was pregame traffic. And he was on a team bus that was delayed. And he got there too late, okay? So that was great to watch. And, yeah, he gave up that home run. And I'm not so sure about, you know, getting too carried away because he did give up a three-run home run. They did have a lead and a cushion. But I also remember the changeup he threw Juan Soto when he was out in front of it. And he shook off Miguel Amaya. And this is a kid in his first major league appearance shaking off his catcher against one of the most feared hitters in baseball and striking him out. This Cade Horton should stay in Chicago with the Cubs. Help this major league team win the division. Go deep in October. It's only one appearance, not even one start. But you saw enough to be encouraged because of his past. Because of his pedigree and because of his potential. So I liked everything I saw from Cade Horton with the exception of the home run, but I think he showed enough to stick around. And if we're talking, if I had to pick a lane and check a box on May 12th, I think he's here for the season.
And I know what your next question is, so go ahead.
Plenty of questions for our guy Bruce Levine. That's going to be at 8:25 this morning. What'd you make of the White Sox actually winning a series? Thanks in large part to Tim Elko's three-run home run in the 4-2 win on Sunday afternoon. Does it underscore the terrible mistake management made by delaying his promotion to a run-challenge team, or are you just happy he was there to perform? It was his first hit for the White Sox and seemed to enjoy a papal blessing on Friday with an unlikely flukish six-run output.
Friday was cool. And they're going to lean into the papal blessing. I love that. I love that. They didn't get the number of popes that were correct. They had 268. And I think he's 267. But we'll forget that because all is forgiven, right?
Sure.
We're in this reconciliation period.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was a nice moment on Friday with the scoreboard tribute and all those things, and the fans dressed up as the Pope. I was there for a while, saw some of those guys. That was hilarious. So hilarious. But what happened on Saturday should have happened probably a week ago. Big Timber was brought up from Charlotte, and I think that Tim Elko delivered on Sunday. Big Timber went deep just as we expected him to when he was in a Sox uniform. And I love the fact that he had the whole story on Mother's Day. His parents were there. He gave the bat and the ball to his mom. And not only that, but his home run was significant in this game. And they won the series. And Will Venable got ejected. Who knew he had a temper? But I love that he got...
He was protecting Marcus Thames.
I love that.
Who also got ejected.
Yeah, yeah, Marcus Thames was coming out of the dugout. Here comes Will Venable to protect him. Both those guys get tossed.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Sox win. So that's nice. Even though it was against the Marlins, it came against Alcantara, which is no small thing.
Right.
Former Cy Young Award winner. And I think that if we ask the same question about Big Timber, Tim Elko will probably be here for the rest of the season.
I think he will be here for the rest of the season. Why wouldn't he be? And it is a great point. Like, this should have at least been done in like the middle of April.
How many times have they lost in a shutout, right? I mean, that's the problem, Dustin.
Agreed. I mean, listen, he's here to stay, and hopefully, like, the pop will be a little something, right? It's starting to heat up around town. White Sox are on the road, but when they come back, you know, it might be 80s plus moving forward. The sun's going to be up till 8 o'clock at night moving forward, so spring is here, summer right around the corner, and this could be a reason to, you know, as they like to say over there, turn on the fireworks.
Yeah, you know, I think that they are the next to last team in home runs in all of Major League Baseball, and that's kind of how that team in that bandbox park has scored runs in the past. And I think that you saw how it just feels like the Sox have to dive through so many flaming hoops and have so many things go their way, and someone needs to walk in a run, and somebody needs to, in order for them to score six runs, it's virtually impossible given the way that this has to happen. So it was wonderful that they won a game on Friday, but I thought it was more wonderful that one swing of the bat delivers three runs and you win 4-2. That is kind of how we've seen this team be able to win over the years. And I think that to bring up a guy that was leading all your minor leagues in home run, they waited too long. It was great, but think about how many times they've been shut out or managed a run, you know, can't put together. This is a guy with the capability of the long ball, and it changes your team if you have someone that can do that. So congratulations to him. It was a great thing to see. It was really exciting. He is he's played two games and he's got one home run. So I was trying to do the math. I think he needs like 900 games, and he'll be able to catch Frank Thomas for the most home runs in Sox history.
I think that's a good, worthy goal.
It's ridiculous, but, yeah. But I mean, if he can keep up that pace.
If he does, will you
win every other game?
Will you then call him Big Timber?
If he does it that often, I'll call him Big Timber.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't want to call him Big Frank until he actually starts hitting him regularly. I just think you might be going a little too fast there, Hawkeroo.
Mercy.
Yeah. Next question.
What did you make of Bob Nightingale's report that the Mets are the latest team to check in on Luis Robert, and the White Sox want 23-year-old pitching prospect as part of the return? Doesn't this team need position players over pitching prospects? Shouldn't the White Sox be adding to that group?
Yeah. I mean, I when I saw they were looking, there was some pitcher they were interested in. I was kind of like, what are you doing? Like, get yourself some people that can play the field, right? They got the draft coming up. MLB draft is not that far away. I saw one of the outlets had a mock draft. Don't they need a shortstop? I mean, do we know if the guy in Arizona is ever going to come back and be able to make the major league team? I just feel like they've got what? They've got, you know, the other Montgomery. They got Teal, and they got, you know, Paul Bunyan. And other than those three guys, who do they have coming up that is a position player? I don't get all these names. I don't know that you can have a minor league system if you have three hitters. So, you know, they need more help. They need offense. They need guys that can play. They've got two left-handed pitchers, and they got another right-handed pitcher in AA that are doing really well. So I'm not saying they're done with pitching, but at least they've got some prospects. The idea that you got three pitchers on the way and three hitters on the way seems like you might need more hitters.
Well, don't you need kind of everything and all of it? I mean, they don't have anything that they've got a really good, you know, base. But I see where you're going with it, what you're saying. But, I mean, it wouldn't just be a straight swap for the 23-year-old pitcher. I think that's the name in the event of a trade with the Mets. That was the idea. They need everything.
Right-handed pitcher Blade Tidwell made his major league debut about a week ago against the Cardinals. He's a 12th-rated prospect in the system for the Mets, and he's somebody that has got some promise. He's 23. So he's got to be part of the package, maybe the lead name in the package, but he's somebody that I don't know if it's the best they can do. Maybe it is the best they can do. Luis Robert Jr. sat two games this weekend. What's wrong with him? I think the bigger question isn't what they're going to get in return. Is like, will they be able to trade him? Because, again, he's injured. What did we say before the season started? This is a bad idea. Holding on to him, the longer you hold on to him, the more likely he's going to be injured because he's always injured.
Big Lou?
No. Who's Big Lou?
Big Lou. Luis Robert Jr.
Not you Big Lou.
He hit a home run
Lou once. Bob. Lou Bob.
He hit the home run.
My nickname for Luis Robert Jr. is Lou Bob. And Lou Bob is too often on the bench.
Big hurt.
Sitting. He's got too many big hurts. He's got too many little hurts. He's got too many hurts, period. Too many owies. He's Big Owie because he's always injured. And you can't trade an injured player. But whether they get a prospect who is a positional player or a top prospect who is a pitcher, they've got to go for value. You got to go for value when you're rebuilding and you have all these openings and all these spots. But Bob Nightingale says that's the name that they were talking about. John Heyman, our guy at 9 o'clock, says nothing is hot or imminent. So we'll wait and see. I wouldn't get too worked up over Blade Tidwell's future.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7:25 on Mully and Haw. As the Bears concluded their rookie minicamp Sunday, what, if anything, made a lasting impression from any of the video or audio reports you saw from Halas Hall?
Well, talking to some people who were up there watching practice, I think it was interesting to hear how fluid and natural Ozzie Chiprillo looked at left tackle and how willing he is to try that, and it sounds like he's feeling very comfortable there. Now, obviously, nothing means anything until you have a pass rusher coming at you like Montez Sweat in the middle of a scrimmage or something like that. But I do think that was good. He did look the part on some of the video clips. Did not make it up to practice, but he looked very fluid and big. The other guy, Kyle Manungai, made a very strong impression at the podium, and certainly you saw some of the video from practice, and he is a guy that's smallish but certainly quick and is only a 4'6 guy, but he's an easy guy to root for because of all that he has overcome and succeeded and he's produced nonetheless. And also Eric Bieniemy, they're not gonna let that guy in Hard Knocks.
For me, it was Burton coming out and saying that he's going to make teams pay for passing up on him. That's what stood out to me over the weekend.
And he got hurt the one day. He caught a touchdown in a 7-on-7 drill, and it looked like he hurt his side. And then, you know, you were kind of like holding your breath a little. Is this guy going to be okay? And then he was back the next day. So that was good to see. That was a good one. Who is Newman?
Luke Newman, the sixth rounder from Michigan State.
I thought he did a really good job at the podium. I liked what he had to say about the coaching that he's getting, about different guys he's played against, different impressions he had of some of the Big Ten guys, and I guess he went up to Minaga and said to him, hey, you really killed us that game. Like, because the guy totally had 149 yards or something and scored a touchdown and really did the business against Michigan State. So I just thought that was kind of cool, that when you see people that kind of, you know, are just enjoying themselves and talking about it. I guess the big takeaway on the field was the way that that Eric Bieniemy was going after people and yelling. I saw a couple of, you know, catch upfield, you know, get your head up, look where you go. Like, I liked that. It was real football-y, so that was kind of cool. Yeah, you know, look, it's just a first impression, but it looks like a group that has got a lot of speed and is going to be able to kind of help them take another step with that offense. Love that.